भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायामुधीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। नमो पंकजनाभाय नमो पंकजमालिने नमो पंकजनेत्राय नमस्ते पंकजांग्रे। हरे कृष्ण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 86 टेक्स्ट नंबर 1। श्रीराजो वाच ब्रह्मन् सेदितुम् इच्छामः ब्रह्मन् वेदितुम् इच्छामः श्वसारं रामकृष्णयो यतोपये मे विजयो या ममासीत् पितामही। श्रीराजो वाच ब्रह्मन् वेदितुम् इच्छामः श्वसारं रामकृष्णयो यतोपये मे विजयो या ममासीत् पितामही। श्रीराजो वाच ब्रह्मन् वेदितुम् इच्छामः श्वसारं रामकृष्णयो यतोपये मे विजयो या ममासीत् पितामही। Shri Raja Uvacha, the great king Parikshit said, Brahman, O Brahmana Shukadev, Veditum, to know, Ichchamaha, we wish, Shvasaram, the sister, Rama Krishnayo, of Balram and Krishna, Yatha, how, Upayeme, married, Vijaya, Arjuna, Ya, she who, Mama, my, Asit, was, Pitamahi, the grandmother. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. King Parikshit said, O Brahmana, we would like to learn how Arjuna married Lord Balram's and Lord Krishna's sister, who was my grandmother. Purport. Parikshit Maharaj turns now to the topic of the marriage of Lord Krishna's sister, Subhadra. In the opinion of Srila Sridhar Swami, King Parikshit's question here follows from the previous narration, because Arjuna's winning the hand of Subhadra was just as difficult a feat as Lord Krishna's retrieving the sons of Devaki from the realm of the dead, since Lord Balram himself opposed Subhadra's marriage to Arjuna. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatkripa Tamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanyam Ishwaram Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Nitinamini Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. This is one of the most hope-giving chapters. Why? Because there are two pastimes mentioned in this chapter. There's almost... That's 59 verses, and out of this, the first 13-14 verses are about Arjuna kidnapping Subhadra, and Krishna is a co-conspirator. Krishna helps in that conspiracy. And the second pastime is Krishna visiting the house of King Baulashva and the Brahman Shrutadev. So why it is very hope-giving is because we see in both these pastimes how wonderfully Krishna reciprocates with the desires of his devotees. Like in the case of Arjuna's pastime, kidnapping Subhadra, Krishna saw that Arjuna is interested in marrying his sister, and Krishna saw in Subhadra's eyes also the same affection. And Krishna knew that Balram wanted Subhadra to be married to Duryodhana. Now look at Krishna's amazing genius. You know, he could have done the traditional, conventional way. He could have had a dialogue with Balram. He could have convinced him. He could have had a meeting. This is what we generally think we should do when we have conflicting issues. But if Krishna were to do that, then he won't be Krishna. You know, Krishna means Akhila Rasamrita Murti. He is the embodiment of all rasas, sweetness. So Krishna will do in such a way that, you know, there is diplomacy, there is cunningness, But the end result is everyone is happy, except the villains, of course. But see, sometimes, you know, we try to imitate Krishna in the sense we also try to circumvent laws, systems, and we think we are smart and we are cute and we are sweet. But that only causes anguish and the burning of the heart for devotees. So we can't play around with people's emotions like that. But Krishna is such a genius that he can make everyone happy. So here Balaram is thinking that his sister is going to get married to Duryodhan. But Krishna is such a genius that he is smiling, he's not confronting Balaram. And then after the... And he encourages Arjuna. He gives the idea, you kidnapped my sister, what a brother. So you can imagine what relationship Krishna, what friendship Krishna and Arjuna must be having. It is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Saratya parshada sevana sakya dautya virasananugamana stavana pranaman snigdeshu pandushu jagat pranatim cha vishnor bhaktim karoti nrupati charanaravinde. Parikshit Maharaj's realization is that how wonderful Krishna is, how he reciprocated with my grandfather and the Pandavas, all the Pandavas. Krishna became Sarathi, a chariot driver. Saratya Parshada, he was an equal friend. Sevana, he was serving menially my grandfathers. Saratya Parshada Sevana Sakya, he was the best friend of Pandavas. Dautya, Krishna became the messenger for Pandavas. Virasana, Krishna also became a bed for my grandfather Arjuna. Arjuna would put his head on Krishna's lap and go to sleep. Stavana Pranaman, and Krishna would fold his hands and offer obeisances and respects to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Why? Because Snigdeshu Pandushu Jagat Pranatim Cha Vishnu. He is Pranatim Cha Vishnu, he is the Supreme Lord Vishnu. But he saw that Snigdeshu means malleable. Pandavas were malleable to Lord's will. They just wanted to please the Lord. They were so attached to the Lord. Because of that, Krishna became conquered by their desires. And Krishna would just do everything to please the Pandavas. Bhaktim karoti nrupatis charanaravinde. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj is offering obeisances to Krishna. So this is a very... This pastime confirms that how Krishna reciprocates with the desires of his devotees and he satisfies them. Sometimes devotees become hopeless. You know? Will Krishna reciprocate? Yes, Krishna will certainly reciprocate, and in ways which are beyond our imagination. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that after these 13 verses, Shukdev Goswami suddenly jumps to this pastime of Mithila, where Krishna visits Mithila and meets King Baulashwa and Shuchadev at the same time. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that generally Parikshit Maharaj would ask a question and Shukdev Goswami would answer. But here, Shukdev Goswami ends this pastime and immediately starts the next pastime without any question being asked. Because Krishna's pastimes are so sweet, the pure devotee is also spontaneous. He glorifies Krishna. He doesn't need any official systems or protocol or systematic presentations. He doesn't need. He just wants to glorify Krishna. Of course, he may do that. It is important as a service. But the spirit is, the mood is, a devotee wants to simply glorify Krishna. So Shukdev Goswami, in that mood, after glorifying how Krishna helped Arjuna kidnap his sister, then he talks about how Krishna was invited by King Bahulashwa and Shuchadev at the same time to come to his house. And Krishna, he agreed. And simultaneously, he went to both houses. And each one thought, Krishna is coming only to my house. So Shuchadev was a very poor Brahmin. He had nothing. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains in Saratha Darshani that... Shuchadev didn't even have mats in his small hut to welcome Krishna. So he went to his neighbor's house and bought mats to put it on the ground. He was so poor. So Krishna accepted that invitation. And King Baulashwa, he had a grand reception. You had singers singing and musicians playing music and Chappan Bhog. And Krishna saw both of them had sincere devotion. He accepted both the offerings with equal affection. In fact, Shrutadeva had nothing to offer Krishna for entertainment. So he saw Krishna and the sages are taking prasad. And what prasad? Simple fruits. And then Shrutadeva wanted to please Krishna, want to entertain Krishna. So he got up and started jumping and dancing just for Krishna's pleasure. Sometimes people accuse, you know, Krishna is partial god or Krishna is for the rich people. You know, people have different conceptions. So Rupa Goswami explains, Vyadasya ka charan dhruvasya chavayo vidyam gajendrasya ka kubjayam kim namna rupam adikam sudamno kim tadhanam vamshako vidurasya yadavapate ugrasya kim paurusham bhaktir tushyati kevalam nachaganer bhaktir priyamadhavam. Rupa Goswami says, sometimes people have different conceptions. People, you know, we sometimes think, oh, I'm so fallen that even Krishna can't do anything for me. No, Krishna is for everyone without discrimination. Samoham sarva bhuteshu, is equal for everyone. And he gives examples. First example Rupa Goswami is giving. Sometimes people say, oh, we should have good character, good personality. We should be civilized and cultured family, then Krishna will accept you. No, he says, Vyadasya ka acharan. What was the acharan of this hunter? Valmiki, Mrugari. Even they got Krishna's mercy. So it's not that one has to be from a very good background, very civilized background, no? Somebody may say, okay, but somebody has to be a little intelligent to take shelter of Krishna. He has to be a little grown up. He has to be, you know, at least, he should be part of Aivas at least. He should be at least a young man who can understand. No. Vyadasya ka charan dhruvasya chavayo. What was Dhruva Maharaj's age? 5-year-old. 5-year-old boy can also love Krishna. A hunter can also love Krishna. Somebody may say, no, but you know, you should at least be a human being. And you should be educated. What education? He's saying, Vyadasya ka charan dhruvasya chavayo vidyam gajendrasya ka. What Gajendra had knowledge? Elephant he was. And then somebody may say, no, you know what, Krishna actually is surrounded by all beautiful gopis. So one has to be beautiful and handsome. No, Kubja Yam. What was Kubja? She was a hunchbacked woman. What a rupa, what nama she had. Kubja Yam kim namna rupam adikam. Somebody may say, okay, Kubja didn't have beauty, but at least, you know, Hare Krishna means, you know, paise wale. There should be people who have money. Krishna is attracted to people who have money. No. Sudam no kim tad dhanam. What money did Sudama have? Vyadasya ka charan dhruvasya chavayo vidyam gajendrasya ka Kubja Yam kim namna rupam adikam Sudam no kim tad dhanam. Somebody may say, oh, Krishna is for the Brahmins only. We should have good vamsha. No. Vamsha ko vidurasya. What was Vidura's vamsha? And somebody may say, somebody has to be powerful and somebody has to be young at age and chivalrous fighter. Ugrasya kim paurusham. Ugrasen was an old man. So all these examples Rupa Goswami gives to explain, Bhaktir tushyati kevalam nachaganer bhaktir priya madhavam. Madhava, Krishna, is attracted by bhakti. Only devotion can please Krishna. So because Shrutadev had devotion, Bhaulashva has devotion, and Arjuna loves Krishna, so Krishna is reciprocating in wonderful, unique ways with each one of them. So this is why this is a very hope-giving chapter for devotees who sometimes feel, does Krishna know my struggles? Does Krishna understand what I am going through? Is Krishna there for me? We should know Krishna is there. He is watching. And he certainly reciprocates with each and every devotee in the Krishna consciousness movement. And Krishna does in such unique ways that devotees don't even realize the way Krishna has influenced their lives. Many times we become ungrateful and forgetful of how we are now practicing bhakti because Krishna arranged so many things for us. And we are in the illusion that I am serving Krishna so nicely. No. See the way Krishna is serving Arjuna. Actually, Krishna does service. But Krishna makes the devotee feel that I am accepting your service. So the devotee feels very happy. But actually, it is Krishna's magnanimity. Krishna is arranging Arjuna to kidnap his sister, and he is making Arjuna feel that, you know, this is Krishna's desire. Krishna is telling him, you kidnap my sister. But Krishna is actually serving Arjuna. Shruta Devi is feeling very happy, I am serving Krishna. But Krishna, what? He has no need for any service from anyone. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate, natat samascha abhikasya drishyate. Svabhava ki jnana bala kriyata. Upanishad says he is completely swarat, he can do anything. But he makes the devotees feel so happy. King Bhavalashva is offering grand reception. Krishna accepts. So Bhavalashva is feeling so happy, I am serving Krishna. Actually Krishna is doing service. Krishna is pleasing his devotees. Now sometimes devotees, we are so frustrated in our, because of our mind. And we are serving Krishna with grudges. And Krishna is so kind, he accepts that service. So that is Krishna's service. Just imagine you are a crorepati. Imagine you are a billionaire, multi-billionaire. Will you have shortage of servants? And imagine one of your servants always comes to you with offerings with a frowning face and always complaining. You know, sir, this fellow is doing like this to me, sir, he is doing like that. He is only complaining and he is always having grudges and he is frustrated. And he comes in front of you. And you are a multi-billionaire who has no shortage of servants. What will you do? You will say, get lost. You will say, go and become happy, do whatever it takes, but be happy. Don't come with such miserable face in front of you. Any reasonable wealthy man who has thousands of servants will not care. So here we are with all these mental hang-ups, frustrated because of our own anarthas, and we come to Krishna, we make offerings, and you know, we are not even smiling, we are not even happy. Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. We have to be happy also while chanting Hare Krishna. Despite our very negative approach, negative attitudes, Krishna accepts our service. What a great benevolent master. And with that we feel, I am serving Krishna for so many years. It's Krishna who is so kind, he is accepting. So this is so hope-giving. Krishna is always there to serve. So a gentleman will reciprocate. Gentleman or a lady, both would reciprocate. Krishna, thank you, you are there for me. You are accepting my feeble attempts to serve you. So, let me also please you. So, devotee's actual service begins when he recognizes that Krishna is giving him much, much more than what he has desired and what he has deserved. Krishna is giving us much more than what we deserve and what we desire. And then when we say, okay Krishna, this is a small attempt, I am trying to please you, please accept this offering. That's when we also experience rasa. That's when Krishna enters our life. Because service is of different levels. You know, one level of service is, I don't do service, but I like to get credit. This is one level of existence. Like, you know, some years ago, we were taking prasad, brahmacharis, and one of them said, Arey, Brajbihari, they glorified me. He said, Arey, Prabhuji, I've done like this, like this, like this. And others also accepted, and they also said, he did this. And actually I had not done that. But I was enjoying the appreciation that was coming. So my heart was saying, no, it's not correct, clarify. But mind was saying, arey, maja aa raha hai. I won't tell you what I did after that. But the point I'm saying is, many of us like to take credit for things which we don't do also. Somebody glorifies us, we will, and even if we're not done, we don't mind. We may keep quiet, we may say, no, Krishna's mercy. But actually we relish it. So that is one level of existence where we will not do much service, but we like to get credit. We like to get glorification. Na hota hai na, sir. But there is no sweetness. There is no, like yesterday Gaurupal Prabhu made such a beautiful point. He said Krishna is supremely great and is also sweet. So in our life also, we sometimes try to be great and we also want to be sweet. And he says the mistake we do is, in our relationships we try to be great. He says in relationships we have to be sweet. If you want to be great in your office. But sweetness in relationships, if we try to be great, then we will not experience the rasa. So when we come in front of Krishna, we have to be honest, authentic, truthful, in the sense that is sweetness there. You know, in diplomacy, only Krishna can do that. He doesn't need, and Krishna can satisfy everyone with all his wonderful ways of behavior. But we have to be authentic. Krishna, I am trying to serve you. So this is the one level of service where we actually don't serve, but we like to take credit. There is a second level of service where we serve also and we want credit also. Dekho main itna kiya, I want to be appreciated or at least acknowledged. Like one devotee once said, I am doing so much service and you know nobody is acknowledging me. I said, okay Prabhu, I will acknowledge you, I will appreciate you. I also once was doing one seva for one devotee and for 3-4 months I was working for him and I felt no reciprocation and I got so exhausted. I called him. I said, Prabhu, I need some encouragement. I am doing this for you. Then immediately he dropped everything. He came to me and we spoke for half an hour. Then I felt a little comforted. So many of us, we do service but we need acknowledgement. That is one level of service. And there is another level of service where we do service but I don't want anything in return, Krishna. I just want to please you. Like we serve devotees. I don't want any credit. I am happy serving you. That is my joy. There is this level also. I remember when I joined the Brahmacharya Ashram some years ago. You know, there was one discussion amongst the senior devotees. I would sleep in this ashram. That time the ashram was much smaller. So I saw two temple presidents were sleeping next to me. And I would be sleeping in the middle. And they would talk sometimes. And sometimes they would discuss management issues also. And they would tell me, close your ears. So I would, and I would hear, and they would talk. So they were talking one night that somebody is cleaning up the shoe rack and was doing it so nicely because all the shoes and chappals were kept scattered. But somebody would keep it nicely and next day morning all the shoes and chappals would be nicely kept on the rack. So they were discussing who is doing it. The other brahmachari said, I don't know, but somebody is really doing a great job. So then the other brahmachari said, temple president said, you know, I will find out. Today I will get up a little early and see. So what happened? The next day, he revealed to this other temple president that it is this particular devotee. At night, 2 o'clock, he gets up to pass water to go to the bathroom. That time he comes, he arranges everything and then goes off to sleep. So this temple president had observed him. So this is an example of a devotee. He was doing service for everybody's benefit, but nobody knew he was doing. There are some very special devotees like this also. They like to serve, but I don't want anything. I just want to give you Krishna. See, I'll tell you, what is the first level? No service, but I want credit. Second, seva also and credit equal hona chahiye. Third is, I want nothing, I just want to give you Krishna. And recently I was reading one book by one business management guru. His name is Adam Grant. He is a professor in Wharton School of Management. And he's kind of a prodigy. At a very young age, he got his PhD. And for the last 6 years, he's getting the best professor's award also. And he's written a book called Give and Take. It's a book where he gives amazing statistics. Now, Wharton is arguably one of the best universities in the world, Harvard, Stanford. So he has some 200 years of research, statistics, examples from history, and such an amazing statistic. And this book was like in the New York bestsellers list for many years also. So he proves through this logically, statistically he proves in his book that in business, before I say this, remember, he is not a Hare Krishna devotee. He is a materialistic, so-called, you know, we like to stamp, karmi, you know, atheist or whatever you want to call. He is a so-called materialistic person, and through his research, he points out that in business, in material world, people are, he says generally there are three kinds of people. This is the three categories he has divided. And he says first are, he says, takers. Takers are, they are only thinking how I can get. What I can get is, what is in it for me? If I do this, what I will get? Takers. So he says, takers are very common. Everybody is a taker. What I can get. You agree with this? Everywhere we see takers. Like, I may come to the temple, put 1 rupee, but pray that Krishna give me 1 crore. So I am thinking, how I can get more than what I give? They are takers. Like a boss and a employee. Employee thinks, how I can put little effort and get more salary. And the boss thinks, how I can make him work more and give him less than. Everybody is. So in this world, the taking mood is more than giving. So he says, takers are, so he proves through statistics from different corporations, like companies, from stock market analysis, he says, these companies all takers, they have suffered. And then he says, second type of people are matchers. They give only as much as they can take. Matchers, they match. He says, the most successful people, he proves it, most successful business organizations, most successful leaders are those who are givers, who only give. When they are serving someone, they don't think how this person, I can take something from that person. They're only thinking, when they are giving, they only think how this person can be helped. Those who have that mood, they are the most contented people. They add value to society. They bring happiness to everyone. So I was thinking, this is our philosophy. And this is what we say, give yourself completely. Of course, he also says how one has to have common sense. You know, one can't, you can't just say that, you can't allow yourself to be abused. So that's another whole subject matter. But the principle is this, givers, takers and matchers. So then, we see in Krishna consciousness, however, what Krishna is revealing is a fourth category, you know. Where you are serving so much, not only not getting credit, but the recipient of your service feels he is the one who is doing service. This is our situation. Krishna has arranged so much for us, all our life. And we think I am doing service for Krishna. But it is Krishna. And he is not even complaining. Like, you know, the example of this kind of service, you can read Journey Home. So Radhana Swami Maharaj writes, as a young seeker, he comes to Patna. And there he is not able to sleep at night because the mosquitoes are biting him and he is really harassed by the mosquitoes, not getting any rest. So he is at Ramsevak Swami's ashram. And there one sadhu, one day he says, I will make khichdi for all of you. You know this pastime? So he makes khichdi. And he says, I want to feed all of you. So he has a small stove and he makes khichdi and he serves all the different sadhus. And young Richard, who is a 19-year-old boy, has come to India. He is not used to eating tikka, chilies, hot. And here, this sadhu's khichdi is actually khichdi of mirchi, chilies, with little rice on it. So hot, burning hot. And he starts serving. And the sadhus are relishing. And this young Richard is also sitting there and eating that khichdi. And the moment the prasad enters his tongue and he is on fire. There is smoke coming out from his ears, nose and tears coming on his eye. And the sadhu thinks, oh, you are feeling ecstasy. So he thinks, you know, Richard is very grateful. And Maharaj writes that, how could I break his heart? You know, he wanted to serve with so much love. So what did Richard do now after the first offering? And somehow he finished what was on the plate with great difficulty. Feeling relief that I finished. As soon as he felt relief, again that sadhu was right there and he put 2 more spoons. No, but you couldn't say no, it was already there. And there is a custom, you can't leave anything on the plate. And other sadhus were relishing. But Maharaj was struggling. But how can I displease him? So, with great difficulty, but thinking that this will please him. For pleasing him, I will go through this suffering. So he took that khichdi. And then he was fearing that third time also he may come. So because the sadhus have a custom, they say purna, ho gaya, purna. So what Maharaj did after he finished, immediately crumpled his leaf and smiled, you know. But he was actually suffering, but he smiled. And the sadhu felt so happy that this sadhu has accepted my khichdi. Maharaj says that, you know, I was so happy that I pleased him. Now, if you see in this interaction, the sadhu thought that I served, I made him happy. But actually the reality was, this young boy, he is the one who served this sadhu. And he didn't even make him feel that I am serving you, I am accepting your service. And then Maharaj says, that night, mosquitoes didn't trouble me at all. I slept peacefully. Then he says, maybe because the mosquitoes found my blood very hot. And so this is another level of service. And this is tested. Many times we are tested. What we generally do is, I like to do something. Krishna, if it pleases you, that is okay. You know, we say like this, Krishna, if it pleases you. So what we like to do, we do, and then we offer it to Krishna. Like very nice feast I may cook, because I like to eat nicely. So Krishna, this is for you. And then Mahaprasad is for me. But advanced consciousness is, what does Krishna want? Everything is for Krishna. Everything is for others. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exemplified this. When Advaita Acharya had cooked a big feast, you know, this past time, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw, what was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instant reaction? Immediately he said, wow, what a wonderful feast you are cooking for Krishna, Advaita. I'm so happy to see this. Now, we may also feel happy, but we know that I will also get Mahaprasad. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, see, he is saying, I'm so happy Krishna is being fed such nice prasad, nice bhoga. And for me, you just give me little lafra vyanjan, little boiled vegetables. Now, Advaita Acharya was also very smart. He said, Krishna will be happy if you accept his Mahaprasad. So please accept. So now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepts that Mahaprasad. Why? Because Advaita Acharya explains that Krishna will be happy. For Krishna's pleasure you accept. Then he takes, and as soon as he would finish half the cup, Advaita Acharya would fill it up. So Lord Chaitanya, and Nityananda Prabhu also did this. Nityananda Prabhu knew Lord Chaitanya wants to go to Bengal. After taking sannyas, Lord Chaitanya was going to Vrindavan. So Nityananda Prabhu knows Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart. So he sends devotees ahead to inform Advaita Acharya to come to Shantipur, and he tells some boys to lie to Lord Chaitanya and take him to Bengal instead of Vrindavan. He does all this setting, you know, behind, like we are seeing in this pastime today, Krishna is doing for Arjuna. Nityananda Prabhu is doing for Lord Chaitanya. So in the end, Lord Chaitanya gets externally angry with Nityananda, but Nityananda Prabhu has actually pleased Lord Chaitanya, because Lord Chaitanya wanted to be with his devotees. So this is very high level of service. We may not be able to imitate this. We may not be on this level, definitely. But at least we can come to the third level. See, Lord Chaitanya would always do this. If you see Mahaprakash Leela, what is Mahaprakash Leela? Lord Chaitanya reveals how he was serving so many devotees. Gangadas Pandit was teacher of Lord Chaitanya. Right? And he was teaching young Nimai. But Nimai never told him, Gangadas, I served you. He waited that, on that Mahaprakash Leela, Lord Chaitanya revealed to him. What had happened was, many years ago, when Gangadas Pandit was with his family, the Muslims that time, there were some riots and they were attacking. And Gangadas was in fear of his family's safety. And any time they would come and the Ganga was flooded, and he was concerned of his wife, his children, daughters, and he wanted to protect them. So he came to the boatman and he said, please take me across. And no boatman was willing to take him across because the Ganga was flooded. And one boatman came and he happily took them across. So years later, during Mahaprakash Leela, Lord Chaitanya reveals to Gangadas that, do you remember that Kevat, that boatman, it was me. And Gangadas just breaks down. My dear Lord, you served me. I never even realized. And all these years I am thinking I am serving you. Advaita Acharya was not getting the purport of one verse and he was meditating, and Lord Chaitanya entered his heart and gave him the revelation. Shivas Thakur was thrown out of the Bhagavatam class by Devanand Pandit's disciples.
Lord Chaitanya entered his heart, gave him happiness as you're reading Bhagavatam. So through Mahaprakash Leela, Haridas Thakur. Now Haridas Thakur was beaten in 22 marketplaces. Nobody could survive more than one or two marketplaces beating. And Haridas Thakur, nothing happens to him in 22 marketplaces. And the executioners, they are bewildered and baffled. And Lord Chaitanya reveals years later that as they were beating you, I put my body on top of you, so I got all the lashes. See, and then Lord Chaitanya reveals this back. So these are the pastimes through which Lord Chaitanya, Krishna is teaching us that I am there for you. I have been always there for you. I have always been taking care of you. I have been accompanying you in your sojourn in this material world since you decided to come here. And I will be there with you till you come to the spiritual world. So this is very hope. That's why these are very hope-giving pastimes, Krishna's pastimes. Krishna is there. He never leaves, he never abandons his devotee. In fact, we are so fortunate, we are part of Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. In many religions, especially the Semitic religions, for them God is, it's like you are eternally condemned to hell or you will go to heaven. So if you have done some mistakes and you have not repented in this life, you are eternally going to be in hell. But we are so fortunate, we know that Krishna will be there with us in our next life. Krishna will be there in our travels, even as a dog, as a pig, Krishna is there. Waiting is that bird in that branch that Shvetashvatara Upanishad explains. Samane vrikshe purusho nimagno. In the branch of a tree there are two birds. One is eating the fruits and the other is watching. When will this bird turn to me? Similarly in the heart there is Atma and there is Paramatma. Krishna is waiting, watching for us to turn to him. So like this, here we see how Krishna is reciprocating. Krishna is there for his devotees. Now, we may have a question in mind. Oh, Krishna is there. Krishna does reciprocate. Krishna is serving us all this time. So how do I recognize Krishna's presence in my heart? How do I reciprocate with Krishna? Simple. We just practice the principle of attention. We just be with Krishna. That's it. Simple. Pravishta karna randrena svanam bhava saroruham dhunoti shamalam Krishna salila setasharat. That if just allow Krishna to enter. Pravishta karna randrena. Let Krishna enter through our ear holes into the heart. He will bathe our consciousness with grace, with remembrance, with loving remembrance. And just like salilasya yatashara, just like rain during the autumn season washes of all dirt and contaminations. Similarly, when Krishna Katha, Krishna's holy name enters our consciousness, all the impurities get washed off. So this is the key of receiving Krishna, being there, being attentive to Krishna's presence in our hearts. If we do that, then Krishna gives us a wonderful gift. What is the gift of being attentive to Krishna? Any guesses? If we are attentive to Krishna, what is the gift he is going to give us? And like for example, when we are chanting. See, attention is a choice we make. Like when I am chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. I am making a choice of either listening to the holy name, either being attentive to Krishna or not being attentive. So if I choose to be attentive to Krishna, then attention, what is the reward of this attention, attentive chanting? Affection for Krishna. Love for Krishna. But there is something else that happens also. Attention does not give love immediately. That is where devotees get bewildered. Burijan Prabhu explains this very beautifully in his book Japa, that many times we think I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I'm trying to be attentive, but I'm feeling a lot of anarthas, I'm very fallen actually, process is not working. No! If you are actually attentive to the process, then the reward is not love. Love will eventually come. Love for Krishna will eventually come, but right now the reward will be, the reward of attention is humility. In the sense, when you try to make attentive chanting as your goal, see what will happen. Either you will change your goal immediately or you will become humble. Because Krishna is not somebody whom we can control with our chanting. I listen to the holy name. I've got it. No. Krishna cannot be controlled by our meager attempts to chant. So, but if you are sincere, trying to be attentive, Krishna, I want to serve you. Krishna, I want to attentively listen to the holy names. What will happen? Krishna will reward us with. Why humility? Because we will feel incapable, incompetent to chant. And that is a gift of Krishna. So, Burijan Prabhu writes very beautifully, humiliation, for many people, humiliation comes before humility. We have to go through failure. That failure is good, because that helps us turn to Krishna. Once Anand Mohan Prabhu was asking His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj a question, that Maharaj, how can I know that, you know, I'm practicing bhakti now. This is in the initial days. He said, after 25 years from now, how can I know that, you know, if I'm the right path, how will I know 25 years later that what I've done the last 25 years is actually I'm pleasing Krishna or I'm coming closer to Krishna? How can I know that? And he gave such a profound answer. He said, after chanting every day for years and years, if you can get this one realization, that means you have pleased Krishna. What is that realization? He said, you should be humbled. You should feel so incapable and incompetent in your devotional practices that you should be able to say this one sentence to Krishna. And what is that sentence? You want to know? Very nice. He said, you should be able to tell Krishna, Krishna, I was nothing. I am nothing. I will be nothing. And you are everything. And he said, if you can get this realization, and then Maharaj said, this realization even great sannyasis don't get. See, if you can somehow get this realization, then your bhakti is success. So what does this mean? That means you make your aspiration so high. So when we make, you know, I'm going to listen attentively, we have holy name seminars, we give tips and techniques. Even Burijan Prabhu gives the technique of one Mahamantra, Sankalpa. It appears so easy. Wow! And he explains also very nicely that it's so easy, you can be with Krishna. Just be present. Ah, very nice. Very nice method. And then Burijan Prabhu tells us in the later chapters that this is a very easy technique, but eventually all techniques will fail. Even this one Mahamantra technique will fail. Does that mean we don't do it? No, we do it. Sincerely, because we will be humbled, we'll come on our knees and we'll say, Krishna, I can't do this. And then he says, the seventh key is humility, dependence on Krishna. So humility will be the gift that Krishna would give us. It is Krishna's gift. Humility, you know, sometimes they say, sometimes devotees say, Prabhu, I'm very fallen, I'm so unfortunate, Prabhu, I have so many anarthas. So I just try to listen, you know, I feel, wow, what a mood. Actually, if a devotee feels like this, that I'm fallen, I'm really, I have no taste for chanting, that is success. Awareness of our fallen condition is success. Provided we turn to Krishna. If you don't turn to Krishna, then that will become depression. So attention. Attention is our choice, right? Attention is my choice. So for example, in one round, 108 beats are there. I'm chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So even if I have made a choice of listening to one Mahamantra in 16 rounds, even if I heard 15 or 16 Mahamantras, today I have chosen 15 times I made this choice of inviting Krishna. Tomorrow I can make it 18. Day after tomorrow 25. Don't start counting, otherwise mind will take over. You can't count your choices. Every moment, Krishna, I am yours. I want to serve you. Krishna, this is the choice I am making. So this will lead to a situation where we will realize how incapable we are of coming close to Krishna. And at the same time, and then when we turn to Krishna, Krishna, I am... When we accept this situation, Krishna, I am fallen. When we accept our fallen condition, that is again a choice we make. When we accept, then Krishna floods our heart with love. So there are three stages. I'll clarify in case you are getting confused. What I wanted to share was, first step is what? attention. When I'm attentive, when I listen to the holy name, when I make this choice of attention, then what is the gift Krishna gives? Humility. Basically awareness. Awareness is the second. Awareness of our situation. And that's when we make another choice. What is the third? Accept. I accept my situation, Krishna. I accept that I am very far away from you, Krishna. I accept my fallen condition. Many times we are in denial. No. I am okay. Hare Krishna. Great. Hari bol. Or we have loud proclamations about our fallen condition. I am very far away from... Krishna doesn't want to hear our loud bombastic proclamations. Krishna doesn't want us to be in denial also. He wants us to accept, Krishna, this is what I am. Tattenu kampam susamikshamanu. This is the verse Rupa Goswami quotes. One of the 64 items of devotional service is this, gratitude. Accepting Krishna, I accept this as your mercy. Thank you, Krishna. And in this mood, a devotee then again continues to choose to be attentive to the holy names. And that's how he experiences Krishna's presence in his life. So this is the crux. Choosing to be attentive to Krishna. That's how we also feel Krishna's presence. Our aspiration, there is one letter Srila Prabhupada wrote to Shivananda Das, 1969. He had asked about, you know, how to chant attentively, how to remember the Lord. Prabhupada said, you know, we are helpless. In that letter he says that we should pray, Krishna, you are there in my heart as Paramatma. See, you, if you want, this is the exact words Prabhupada says, if you want, you can make me forget you. And if you want, you can make me remember you. So I request you, please let me not forget you. See, because remembrance of Krishna is also not so easy. We are actually helpless. We are completely helpless. So Krishna wants us to accept our situation and depend on Him. Krishna, I am yours. You know, I have one friend of mine who went through a lot of difficulties last few years. And failures, setbacks. And I was trying to be empathic. I was trying to be spending time with him. But I was shaken. I was thinking, if this happened to me, oh, I would go crazy. And we would talk. And finally, after now almost many years have passed, and now he's kind of accepted it. It took some time. Accepted it. And what happened was very interesting. I met him recently. I said, Prabhu, you went through this 4 years of torture. And the worst part, now I say it is the best part, the worst or best part of this whole thing was, he faced betrayal. Now this is his perception of betrayal, you know. He faced injustice, his understanding of injustice, even from devotees. Now he feels even, you know, anyway, I don't want to get into the details, but the whole idea is he felt, oh, devotees did this with me, devotees. So now, after so many years, I asked him now, so during this whole period, at the end of this, what is your realization? Because he's still happy, he's still positive, and he's still doing bhakti. So he said, Prabhu, only one thing helped me survive this entire phase. He said, many times I would make this prayer, Krishna, this is beyond me. I don't know what you have in store for me. Maybe I should take a divorce. Maybe I should change. Maybe I should do this. Maybe you have decided that I cannot go back to Godhead in this lifetime. Maybe, because actually I have been very sinful, so I think I deserve another life. Maybe I have to get another life. Maybe I'll become a dog. Maybe I'll become a human being. Whatever you are planned for me, Krishna. Whatever I deserve, I accept it. I accept everything. But Krishna, only one thing I ask from you. Let my heart somehow always be for you only. Let my heart not get distracted. Let my mind go anywhere. Let me suffer. Whatever is due for me, let me get. But let my heart never go anywhere else. Let my heart beat only for you. So he said, this prayer helped me survive this period. Such a hope-giving prayer. So because of that, then when I was looking at him, and then I told him, Prabhu, that means what you went through was worth it. Because you're attached to Krishna. And I told him, this is only theory for me, because I don't know if I'll be able to make this kind of leap of faith like you have shown. But it is a fact. When we are attentive to the process of Krishna consciousness, we expect, oh, love, we expect wonder, we accept magic to happen. Yes, magic and wonder of Krishna is, he reveals to us our fallen condition. That's why Rupa Goswami calls this as anartha nivritti. when we come to Krishna consciousness, Adho Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, and then Anartha Nivritti is a vast intermediate zone. It's a long gestation period where we have to come to terms with our anarthas. We have to accept our fallen condition and come in front of Krishna. Krishna, this is what I am. Krishna, but I am yours. And that's when Krishna fills our heart with rasa. So the reward of attention is humility. Not immediately that, you know, I will start. Yes, there are both. There is both. When we are attentive, we experience Krishna's presence in our life. We become happy also. And simultaneously, we experience awareness of our fallen condition. So happiness in bhakti is what? Happiness in bhakti is simultaneous experience of joy and sadness. This is what Radhana Swami Maharaj writes in Journey Home, that first time when he met Prabhupada, you know, it's not that he was in ecstasy jumping and dancing. He says he went through contradictory emotions in his heart. He said, I felt happy and I also felt sad. I felt hopeful, I also felt miserable. I felt positive, I also felt the anarthas in my heart. I could see those, I could see my strengths and I could also see my weaknesses. I could see my hopes, I could see, basically went through this, both emotions. That's what happens when we come in front of Krishna or Krishna's pure devotee. We have to go through, this is called churning. This is the happiness in Krishna consciousness. When we say Krishna consciousness is a happy process, it's a sweet, it's not like sweet rice sweet. You can't eat much of sweet rice, but if there is some item which is khatta meeta, you know, khatta meeta, little sweet also, little khara also. We used to have crackjack biscuits when we were small. Wo khatta bhi nahi, meeta bhi nahi, jada kha sakte. Sirf meeta rahega to you can't eat much. So Krishna consciousness is like that. So that when we are attentive, we feel Krishna's presence, we feel loved by Krishna. But as we are feeling loved by Krishna, Krishna also shows us the mirror. Prabhu, Hari Bol, this is you. No, this is not me. Denial. That is denial. We'll never come close to Krishna. Or other thing is, yes, I am fallen. Loud proclamations. That also doesn't bring us close to Krishna. We hide. Loud proclamations means we hide behind external aspects of devotional service. I hide behind my tilak, Vaishnava attire, Hari Bol. I hide behind my Hari Bols. I hide behind my chanting. Krishna consciousness demands my real self. Krishna wants the real me. And for that, we have to be authentic. I have to accept my situation. So just like, you know, one Grihastha was telling me an interesting thing. He said, Prabhu, I love my wife. My wife loves me. We are very nice. But it's very humbling, Prabhu. Grihastha ashram is very humbling. Because I had appreciated him for his Bhagavatam class. He gave a nice class. He said, Prabhu, you are appreciating. But you know, my wife, when something happens, she tells me, Are, well, last time class you said this point, you are not following now. So it's very humbling, Prabhu. So I said, no. But you are emotionally stable because you are getting love also, and you are getting the other aspect of love, correction. You know, you can't say love means only happiness. No. Mirror is shown to us in any relationship. Krishna, in our relationship with Krishna, when we chant attentively, when we are with Krishna, Krishna, when we are listening to the holy name, what are we listening to? You know what we are listening to? We say, no, listen to the holy name. Hare Krishna, listen. What does it mean? We are actually listening to Krishna. Because Krishna is not different from his sound, holy name. So when I am saying Hare Krishna, I am listening to Krishna. So just imagine Krishna is sitting next to you and talking to you. Prabhu. So you are listening to Krishna. And what do you think Krishna is going to tell you in your ears? I love you. But that's not the only thing he's going to say. He's also going to say, Prabhu, you are nonsense. That I can't take. But that is a relationship. Like one Grihastha friend of mine, because I've known him since his initial days in bhakti, so I could take this liberty. I don't advise this, any of you should do this. He was coming with his wife in a car, and I had already come before to the school. He was carrying some sound system. And he was supposed to give it to me. So I called him to ask him where he was. So I generally speak on the speaker phone. I said, where are you? He said, Prabhu, I'm on my way. In 5 minutes, I'm reaching. I said, okay. And I forgot to disconnect. I kept the phone here. And unfortunately for him, he also forgot to disconnect. He kept his phone right in front of him, steering wheel, and he continued driving. And then what happened? I first time heard what happens between a husband and wife when they're alone. So So I heard his wife's voice. Now, she doesn't know that I am hearing. Nobody knows except me, because he doesn't know that he is not disconnected. And she is saying, "Haan, tab jaake upar baith jaoge Prabhu ji ke saath. Main baithi rahungi car mein." She started blasting him left, right, center. And I was shocked. I said, "Same Mataji hai? Arre, hamare samne to pura alag hai. Prabhu ji, Hare Krishna." I said, no, this can't be true. So I took the phone. And then, same voice. And she was blasting him. And he is like, not saying anything. We went on for, long time. And then my conscience told me, you are doing wrong. Eavesdropping, this is not correct. I said, no, but this is too tempting to. Well, I had never seen her, chastise her husband. And he was like, I could imagine, he was like a mouse, driving the car. She was, like yesterday, Gaurav Prabhu said this nice story, that one man was in the office. So his employee told him, "Boss, sir, you are office mein, you are like a lion. Are you also lion at home?" He said, "Yes, at home, Goddess Durga sits on that lion." It was so funny. So I could see that Goddess Durga on this lion. Because he is a very powerful man. He is doing a lot of seva. So I thought he would be in control. But that phone conversation revealed to me a completely different paradigm. So she was sharing, "Abhi jaake baitho mat. Turant sound rakho. Niche aajao turant. Understand?" If it is, So after, and then I disconnected. I also felt a little guilty. And anyway, I knew that they are anyway coming. I disconnected. And soon he was there on my door. Tuck, tuck, tuck. "Prabhuji, sound system." And he was going. I said, wait. "Nahi Prabhuji, I have to go." "Arre, wait, kahan jana hai? Baito yaar, aaram se." I said, "No, Prabhu, I have to go, I have a meeting." "What meeting?" "No, Prabhuji, bhai is going to come, and we have to go, and we have to." I said, "Relax." "No, Prabhu, I have to go. And then I was just teasing him. And finally I said, "Prabhu, sorry, but I heard your conversation." "What? You heard everything?" I said, "I'm sorry, I should not have heard, but I heard." And then I said, "Kya jhapti hai yaar terko? How much he chastises you?" I could say this because he is my good friend, I could take that liberty. "Yaar, I never knew. She chastises you so much." And he just became, he kept his face down. He said, "Prabhu, ye to trailer bhi nahi tha." This is not even a trailer. So then we laughed over it. And then I told him, "But Prabhu, you are very stable." And he's also actually very stable. Very happy devotee. His Grahastha Ashram is going great, actually. And he's doing wonderful services. And they're a wonderful family of five. So it's a wonderful family. There's no problem. But it's an important point. And we were discussing later also. I was telling him, because that day we could not discuss because he was in a real hurry. Later on we discussed on how he is actually very emotionally stable. He is happy. But part of that package is what? Surgery also. Thoda humbling bhi hona padta hai. Humble hona padta hai. So when we come to Hare Krishna, we can't expect Krishna will only say, "I love you. Krishna consciousness will be wonderful." No, we have to come to terms with our anarthas. Attention, if you are attentive to the process, if you make that choice, then Krishna will give us the gift of humility. And then if we choose to accept what Krishna is revealing to us, if you are really humble, we will accept. Humility and gratitude are connected, actually. If you are grateful, "Yes, Krishna, tattenu kampam, I accept, you are wonderful, you are everything," then we make a big leap in our Krishna consciousness. So therefore, to conclude, this chapter is a very wonderful hope-giving chapter. And in this chapter, we see how Krishna is reciprocating wonderfully with Arjuna, with Shrutadev, and with Bahulashva, and giving us hope that just like he has reciprocated with Kubja, Mrigari, Dhruva, Gajendra, Krishna will reciprocate with us also. In fact, he is always reciprocating with us. He is always serving us. And we have to choose now to serve and reciprocate with his kindness. So if we make this choice, then wonderful gifts in Krishna consciousness are awaiting us. So to conclude, let us make the choice of being attentive to Krishna and accept the mercy that Krishna gives Mercy doesn't mean only things which are palatable to my ego. Mercy, Krishna, we have to accept Krishna completely, the whole package. So, this is few thoughts I wanted to share. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Any questions or comments? Yes. Hindi? Haan, boliye na, Hindi mein boliye. Microphone aa raha hai. Mic aa raha hai, mic pe boliye.
प्रभु जी भगवत गीता में 14वें अध्याय में 8वां श्लोक है जहां पर प्रभु श्री कृष्ण जी अर्जुन से कहते हैं तमस्त्वज्ञानजम विद्धि मोहनम सर्वदेहिनाम प्रमादालस्य निद्राभिस्तन्नी बध्नाति भारत. हे भरत श्रेष्ठ अर्जुन, अज्ञान से उत्पन्न हुआ तमोगुण तो समस्त देहधारी जीवों का मोह है और इसके द्वारा देहधारी जीव प्रमाद आलस्य और निद्रा इत्यादि से बांधा जाता है. और 17वें श्लोक में 14वें अध्याय के वहां पर प्रभु ने बताया है कि सत्वात् संजायते ज्ञानम रजसो लोभ एव च प्रमाद मोह तमसो भवतो ज्ञानमेव च. हे अर्जुन, सत्वगुण से सच्चा ज्ञान प्रकट होता है, रजोगुण से निसंदेह लोभ उत्पन्न होता है और तमोगुण से प्रमाद मोह तो उत्पन्न होता ही है, अज्ञान भी उत्पन्न होता है. 8वें श्लोक में अज्ञान से तमोगुण की उत्पत्ति है और 17वें श्लोक में तमोगुण से अज्ञान की उत्पत्ति है, तो ये दोनों भी एक दूसरे के निर्माता कैसे होते हैं?
हरे कृष्णा, मुझे इसका उत्तर पता नहीं, अगर कोई जानता है तो दे सकता है. पर मैंने क्या समझा आपके प्रश्न से कि मे बी समबडी एल्स, मैं हिंदी इंग्लिश में बोलूं चलेगा?
उत्तर
मैं ट्राई करूंगा हिंदी में बोलने का. क्या रजोगुण का जो प्रभाव है हमारे ऊपर बहुत तीव्र है और ये जो तीन गुण हैं सत्व रजस और तमस, इनका हमेशा संघर्ष रहता है. अगर आप सत्वगुण में रहेंगे तो ऐसा नहीं कि आप हमेशा सत्वगुण में रहेंगे. आप सत्वगुण में हमेशा के लिए स्थित नहीं रह सकते. रजोगुण और तमोगुण आपको नीचे खींचेंगे. आप रजोगुण में रहेंगे तो तमोगुण आपको नीचे खींचेगा. तो ये जो तीनों गुणों में हमेशा संघर्ष होता है. तो ये जो अध्याय है, जो 14वां अध्याय जो आप बता रहे हैं, इसका एसेंस ये है, इसमें भगवान ये संदेश देना चाहते हैं कि ये तीन गुणों का प्रकोप हम पर निरंतर है और सदैव हम इसके वश में हैं पूरी तरह से. और अगर हमें बाहर निकलना है इससे, तो जो 26वां श्लोक है, जो इसका जो मेन मैसेज, जो संदेश है, जो अंतिम श्लोक है इस अध्याय का, इसमें भगवान कहते हैं माम च अव्यभिचारेण भक्ति योगेन सेवते स गुणान समतीते इतान ब्रह्म भूयाय कल्पते. आप भक्ति करो और इन तीनों गुणों के प्रकोप से बाहर निकलो, ट्रांसेंड. सो दिस इज द मेन मैसेज ऑफ दिस चैप्टर. द टेक्निकल जो डिफरेंस है वो मेरा इतना वो नहीं है उसमें. यू कैन आस्क समबडी हु इज मोर टेक्निकली एस्ट्यूट. इज दैट ओके प्रभु? थैंक यू, थैंक यू. एनीथिंग एल्स? Anybody has any other comments or questions? Okay, bro. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Regarding this question which you answered for him, I just had a thought. I thought I'll confirm that with you. Because normally either we can be under the modes or we can be in Shuddha Sattva, that is Krishna consciousness. So basically what I've understood is that once you are in a mode, then that mode nourishes you and you nourish the mode. It's like a ferry go around where once you sit down, then that just keeps moving. So until unless there's a person who's outside of that ferris wheel, you cannot come out of your own. So basically, a gyan will give rise to tamo, and tamo will give rise to a gyan. Both will nourish each other. But supposing you take the shelter of your guru and Srila Prabhupada, then gradually the process start happening and you start getting out of the Ferris wheel. So is that understanding okay?
Excellent. Wonderful. Thank you. I'm glad you said this, because you know, many times what happens with us, most of the devotees, is we are trapped by Maya, because Krishna says that use your intelligence. Scriptures say intelligence is stronger than mind, right? Many times we hear this. Intelligence is stronger than mind. Upanishad says that horses are the senses and the reins is the mind and driver is the intelligence. So intelligence is stronger than mind. Intelligence is stronger. With the intelligence, control the mind, control the modes. And this is where we are trapped by Maya, because when we hear this statement that intelligence is stronger than mind, we foolishly assume that with my intelligence I can control my mind. We don't realize that the intelligence here referred to is not our intelligence. It is the spiritual intelligence that is being spoken about. So what you said is very true. We need somebody outside this, that is scriptures, Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. These are the three who are outside my system. And when we take shelter of, when we use the intelligence provided by Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, then the mind can be controlled. Then we can rise above the modes. So that's a very, very good explanation you have given. Many times we do what? We think, intelligence is stronger than my mind, so let me figure out the solution for this problem, and we start racking our brains and we forget Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. And then we realize with all that intelligence we have got more entangled, and the mode Rajogun, thinking, planning is a part of Rajogun, that Rajogun feeds more Rajogun, and we are completely trapped in the cycle. So intelligence, sometimes we think, be intelligent. What is unspoken in all these passages is spiritual intelligence. Now if we don't have spiritual intelligence, then you know what is the situation? If there is no spiritual intelligence, then my dear friends, sorry to disappoint you, intelligence is nothing. Intelligence is puny compared to the mind. Mind is extremely powerful. Intelligence can do nothing except simply follow what the mind desires. Our intelligence is weaker than the mind. Intelligence is a slave of the mind. Only when the intelligence is spiritualized, the intelligence can control the mind. I'll give a simple example. What is mind function, main function? Sankalpa, vikalpa, accept, reject. And what does intelligence do? Intelligence makes plans, justifies. Whatever the mind has accepted, the intelligence will explain how it is correct. Whatever the mind has rejected, intelligence will give analysis how it is good. So intelligence is, see, basically what is mind? Mind is a bodyguard of false ego. False ego is the main culprit, main villain behind the scene. He's a don. He cannot be seen. False ego is what driving everything. And next to false ego, who is the bodyguard of false ego? I'll just briefly say this, but this can really help you, because when I heard this from Burijan Prabhu and I understood it, it has helped me in my spiritual life. I'll just take 2 minutes, but if you hear this attentively, I'm sure it will help you also the way it has helped me. See, there is a nexus, there is a gatbandhan between these four people. Ego, false ego, mind, intelligence and senses. If we understand how these four guys work and how they are torturing us, then we can take shelter of Krishna and get out of the influence of the three modes. First, who is the main culprit? False ego. False ego says what? I am enjoyer. I am great. Aur kuch karta nahi, bas bol deta hai, order. What is mind? Bodyguard of the false ego. And what does mind do? Accept, reject, accept, reject. And intelligence does what? Follows the order of the mind. Mind accepts, so then intelligence will give all the reasons why you should accept. And intelligence and mind, and then again mind will accept that proposal, then the senses will execute it. Like, you know, simple example. Wrong example, but it will make sense. False ego says, I am enjoyer. Everything good is for me. False ego, right? So then a beautiful girl or a boy walks by. So the mind accepts. I want her. Mind has accepted. So then intelligence gives proposal. What? Talk to her. Give her a gift. Send a rose. Text her. For then the mind will accept the proposal of the intelligence. and then senses execute. Then you actually call, actually talk. So senses are executing the strategy of ego, mind and intelligence. That is how we suffer. So I am the enjoyer. You know, it's like, to give a mundane example, it's like, you know, the Prime Minister says, Swachh Bharat, India should be clean. He said this. Now he has a minister. Now minister will accept, reject. Ye proposal achha hai, clean karega. Or this will help the execute. He is given the vision. The Prime Minister has given the vision. The minister will accept or reject. And then he has a secretary who is an IAS officer. They are the actual real intelligent guys who actually work hard. And he has the district, the IAS guy. He has the municipal commissioner, the traffic police wala, the district magistrate, high court justice, all of them under him. So what happens is that there's a whole system. Similarly, false ego, mind, intelligence and senses. So what happens? Intelligence is hyperactive. And we land up constantly analyzing, constantly, you know, giving answers. Mind and intelligence are constantly active, hyperactive. And this is dangerous. Because third canto, Bhagavatam explains this very nicely. 26th chapter. First time when I heard it, I was confused. First time when I read this, I was confused. But later on, it made sense to me. Third canto, 26th chapter, 27 and 28 verse. You know what it says? It says, false ego in the material world, when it's transformed into mode of goodness, it becomes mind. And false ego's transformation to by the mode of passion becomes intelligence. I was confused. I said, "Arey, goodness is higher than passion. Sattva is higher than rajo, right? So if sattva is higher than rajo, and intelligence we have heard is more powerful than mind. Intelligence is greater than mind. If intelligence is greater than mind, and sattva is greater than rajo, then intelligence should be sattva. But no, in conditional existence, mind is simple. Accept, reject. Mind ka kaam simple karne ka. Chanting, if you are simply present, mind is peaceful. But intelligence is hyperactive, constantly. It's mode of passion. Intelligence is mode of passion, constant analyzing, judging, making proposals. Thinking addiction. We have this disease. Constantly thinking. So there has to be some time when we don't think, but we receive. Bhakti is not about achieving something. Bhakti is about receiving. And we are trying to achieve through our intellect. So, simple. You know, in yoga, why they say? Patanjali said, yoga, yukta, vritti, chitta, nirodha. The main function of yoga is stop this oscillation of mind. Accepting, rejecting. Isko kam karne ke liye, just be present. Listen to one mahamantra. Be there with the holy name. You know, constantly analyzing, thinking will increase more rajoguna. And that rajoguna will feed us into more rajoguna. We'll spend our whole day thinking only. And then we'll be confused. While chanting, we are supposed to be with Krishna, offering our heart, and we are constantly thinking of the various things to do. Then during the day when we are actually doing service, we are wondering, why am I doing this? You know, during chanting we are supposed to say, Krishna, I am doing this for you. Krishna, I am yours. But during chanting, we are thinking, how to do, what to do, planning. So therefore, it's a very, very important science that we have to understand that intelligence is very, very deadly if it is not spiritualized. Therefore, let us not trust our intelligence so much. Let us not trust our plan making so much. Because our intelligence is simply a servant of who? Mind. And mind is bodyguard of ego. So we are actually completely controlled by these three. So therefore, let us spiritualize our intelligence and then the whole situation will become ulta. With the spiritual intelligence, we can stop the mind's tormenting us. Have you experienced this? Sometimes we like one person and next day we hate that person. Because false ego, servant of false ego. False ego thinks, I am good. Somebody comes and says, Prabhu, you are very nice. So the mind says, accept. He is a nice person. And if he tells me tomorrow, Prabhu, you are very bad, then immediately mind does what? Reject. and intelligence will supply arguments how he is bad. Are you understanding this? Therefore, we can't trust our intelligence. We will go bewildered, especially in society of devotees, if we only depend on our intelligence. We will go crazy. We need spiritual intelligence, sadhu, guru and shastra, to save ourselves. Is that okay, Prabhu? I just added more on what you said. Thank you. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.